early in the morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Saturdays. But I am filling in today on this Wednesday, September the 11th, 2019, here on 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. Normally, I am on Saturday mornings from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. But today, on what is not a regular day at all, I am on filling in for two shows. I am filling in for the for Voicemobile and the Time Travel. So I will be here from now until 7 o'clock tonight. So today we normally talk sports on this show, and those that have been following the show live from the get-go, from day one and Saturday mornings that I'm on the air, I do a lot of sports talk. Talk about the Pats, Bruins, Red Sox, Celtics. But today is absolutely just not the day to talk sports at all. In fact, I mean, it looks like I already have a phone call already. I am taking phone calls. Just bear with me 1 second. From Mr. Ralph Garcia in Houston. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Shukri Wright Show. Thanks for calling in.
My pleasure, Shukri. Good talking to you. I enjoy your show. And
thank you.
It's pretty special that you're on the air for on this very special and some of us, a lot of us will say, sad day.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, today, being 18 years since 9/11, you know, I've been asking this question throughout the day on my social media pages for those who are fortunate to follow me, whether it be on via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, but specifically on Facebook. So the question I want to ask you, what are your recollections and memories of 9/11? Like where were you and what were you doing?
I was in my home in Madison, Tennessee, and I worked around the clock. I got off of work about 3:30 a.m. Eastern time, came in, stayed up for a little while so I can get up and see my wife off to work and my children off to school, and I fell asleep. But I hadn't gotten too deep into my sleep, and I kind of stirred. And I don't think it was like I heard anything. I had the TV on because I was always used to sleeping with the TV on, but I would put it low.
Right.
But something kind of made me stir and look at the TV, and I saw the picture of the first World Trade Center hit and the smoke and the fire. And the first thing I thought to myself was, I don't remember a movie that showed the World Trade Center being hit. But, I mean,
yeah,
many movies that I hadn't seen. So, you know, okay, fine. Well, I turned it up, the volume up, but I kind of turned back over to fall back to sleep when I heard the newscaster, the news station, literally say, "We're following breaking news. An airplane has just hit the World Trade Center." And I imagine millions of people across America just froze. I just froze. I could not believe what I was looking at. Obviously, across the next 90 minutes, you know, the second plane hit. We had Pennsylvania, the Pentagon, and you just had to think, like, this can't be real. It can't be happening. And as the day went on and as the week went on, one of the things that really struck you was, we see how we live today, all this turmoil and division. And for this moment in time, it did not matter where you came from. It didn't matter your religion, your color, your creed, your beliefs, your political party. It just never mattered, because we all came together as one. And life has never been the same. You know, Shukri, you and I have known each other for years.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you and your show and what you're doing. And, you know, I joke with you about the Yankees and my hate for the Yankees. And sometimes I'll tell you things about New York City. But the truth of the matter is that New York City's my home. It's where I come from. And you can never forget. And I just came from there, as a matter of fact, last month. And Shukri's telling me the phone call is not coming through.
No, it is. I'm talking about the monitor in the studio for those that are watching the Facebook live stream. But no, you're fine.
Okay.
You're good.
Can tell everyone what I'm talking about afterwards. So just
I will.
Going there and going down there and not seeing the World Trade Center is just emotional. And on a day like today, I hope that everyone who experienced it will always remember, will never forget. And those of us parents, and those of you parents whose kids were born after this horrific day, please educate your children. Educate them.
I couldn't agree more.
Tell them about them, about the history of it. And I'll finish it with, we never forget. We will never forget.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mr. Garcia, for your phone call and also for tuning in. It was definitely greatly appreciated. As what I said, this is no ordinary day, and I simply refuse to treat it as such. It just isn't. For all of us who are fortunate and old enough to live through it, like you and I, myself, and countless other millions of other people, you know, today is no ordinary day. So thank you for calling in. I greatly do appreciate it.
All right. You keep having a good show. God bless you, young man.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Garcia. Much appreciated. That was Mr. Ralph Garcia of NGSC Sports, who I had worked with for years when I was just getting my feet wet in terms of, you know, like doing like internet radio, online radio shows and so forth, who called in from Houston, Texas. And what I want to start the show with is, you know, in discussion and talking about what this day means. And, you know, when we talk about history, we talk about like specific days in our lives that we certainly don't forget. This is definitely a day that for so many of us, including myself, you know, This is no ordinary day. And I'll talk about furthermore in the next segment at 3:20 Eastern Time. That's 12:20 Pacific Time, Central Time Zone 2:20, Mountain Time Zone 1:20 p.m. I will also talk about how did it impact me on a personal level, as well as like my memories of the day, because the day itself was just as it was for so many others, a truly very horrifying and sad day, and a very emotional day. So I want to start off with my opening thoughts, and it's brought to you by yours truly, Shukri Writes. And I want to start off by saying, you know, a lot can change in 18 years. A lot has happened in 18 years, but we would be doing an absolute disservice if we did not talk about what this world was like, you know, pre 9/11, And for all intents and purposes, this is not a political show at all whatsoever. This is not to talk about, you know, conservatives or liberals or independents. This show is a sports talk show. Today's show is specifically dedicating to remembering 9/11 and what happened that day and what it did to us people as a society, as well as, you know, to talk about how it impacted our lives individually. And the first thing I want to start off by saying is, you just never know. You just never know how life can absolutely change in a flash. You know, yesterday I saw a post on Facebook in which it said, and I'm just going to paraphrase it very quickly, that, you know, 3,000 people went to sleep not knowing that it would be the last time or the last night they would ever get the chance to spend with their families. And that in itself really struck a chord. It really hit me. Because oftentimes we tend to take life for granted, unfortunately, thinking that, you know, things will remain the same, nothing will ever change. And unfortunately, 9/11 happens and it forces everybody to put life into perspective. And the one thing that I can remember is how this day in particular impacted us on such a personal level, on an individual level, that it was truly, you know, like hard press that we put our differences aside. We put everything that had divided us as people, whether if it's through sports differences or political differences, we put that all aside and came together as people. And that is the true definition of the human spirit, being able to come together in times and in difficult moments as people, to come together to help each other. There was something truly beautiful that came out of what happened on 9/11. An unfathomable tragedy that impacted us all. And the most beautiful thing that came from it was how caring we became, how willing and how selfless so many of us became in volunteering our time, our energy, our emotions, in helping others who so desperately needed. And it's a beautiful sign of humanity that we also need it now more than ever. It shouldn't take tragedy to bring us together as people, but how we respond in tragedy says a lot about our character and our resolve as people. And I am a firm believer that difficult times often reveal the true character of people. And 9/11, here we are 18 years later, I think it's very fair to say that we saw, in large part, the best in people. And that's where we're going to start the show with today. Coming up next, there was some clips that I have that I want to play for you. Very, very short, very quick. But there, thanks to the internet, social media, that is now forever a part of the digital archives known as the World Wide Web, where we can go to and listen to. There's a clip that I have from courtesy of Tintin Wins WINS New York, in my hometown of New York from that morning that when I listened to it this morning in preparation for today's show, it brought chills. It brought a great deal of chills to me because this was something that I haven't heard in years. That and much more. Plus, I'm taking phone calls all throughout the show. It's a very special yet very important and significant Shukri Wright show. I'm here with you until 7 o'clock tonight. I'm here from now until 7 o'clock tonight right here on 91.5 FM WMFO. This is Shukri Wright, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. Special edition here with you until 7 o'clock tonight. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Form Radio. I'm also taking your call phone calls at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. If you missed the first segment of this show, I mentioned that I am going to dedicate this entire show. I'll be here with you until 7 o'clock tonight to 9/11. A lot of the show we'll be talking about, you know, the day itself, how it impacted sports. I have a lot of really good stuff to that I want to get to over the next 4 hours, and I really hope that that I do the audience justice and do very well with what I've put together on this 18th anniversary of September 11, 2001. You know, the next thing I want to talk about is like how did 9/11 impact me personally? And it impacted me on so many different levels that I'll talk about in great detail during this segment. For those that aren't familiar with me or my voice, I am usually on the Shukri Wright Show, the host of the Shukri Wright Show, Saturday morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., right here on the same airwaves of 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. I am from New York. I was born in New York, raised in New York. And one of the great things that I remember about my time growing up in New York City was, growing up with two loving parents. My mom and my dad, they were both educators. And ironically enough, and my dad doesn't even know this. I don't think he realizes this, actually. But he actually was very huge and instrumental in planting the seed of my love for radio and broadcasting, you know, like every morning, actually. It would be a ritual, and I remember this to this day. My dad, what he would do is that he would have me and my younger sister, who's 13 months younger than I am. Her name is Sapana. And we would sit at the table in the living room, and every morning without fail, I cannot exaggerate this, he would turn on the radio and turn on the news. Because in New York, we have a few news radio stations, but there was one news radio station in New York, 1010 Winds, WINS New York, in which that was the station we listened to every morning without fail. Every morning I would wake up to the voice of Lee Harris, Judy DeAngelis, James Faraday. Those were the people who I listened to every morning when I was a kid in elementary school. Like, I remember this to this day, still like it was yesterday. So on the morning of 9/11, one of the things that I still distinguishly, I still remember this so much so that there's a clip that I'm going to play in just a few moments that's courtesy of 1010 Winds New York, that I can remember how my day started. Like, it was the second day of school. I was in fifth grade. And just like every other morning, my father would prepare breakfast, ironically enough. But this morning, I think it was oatmeal that he made. Like, he usually makes oatmeal with a little cinnamon stick, or like cinnamon powder and whatever. And he'll turn on the radio. I can hear it from my room, you know. And for those that have the ability to hear what I'm about to play, this is again courtesy of 1010 Winds, WINS New York. On the morning of September 11, 2001 at 8 a.m. So bear with me. This clip is from 8 a.m. 9/11, 18 years ago today. Stay tuned.
All news, all the time. This is 1010 Winds. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world.
Good morning. 64 degrees at 8 o'clock. It's Tuesday, September 11th. I'm Lee Harris. Here's what's happening. It's primary day, and the polls are open in New York City. Voters are deciding among about 250 candidates for mayor, city council, and assorted other positions.
Get ready for the second coming of Air Jordan. Michael Jordan has all but confirmed his return to the NBA. I'm Alice Stockton-Rossini. I'll have that story coming up.
A Westchester man is arrested for the hijacking of an Air Canada jet 30 years ago. He's also suspected of robbing a bank and making bombs for black radicals on the Lower East Side around the same time. And a California grand jury decides against pursuing an obstruction of justice complaint against Congressman Gary Condit.
I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Elliot Abrams. As Hurricane Erin remains well offshore, we'll have sunshine today. The high 80 going down to 60 tonight. 78 with sunshine tomorrow. 76 Thursday.
This is Steve Torrey. In addition to the Michael Jordan story, Giants lose their opener in Monday Night Football in Denver. Yankees and Red Sox washed out in the Bronx.
That was Lee Harris on the morning of September the 11th, 2001, at 8 a.m. And I played that clip because, you know, that morning, it started as just any other morning. You know, people were preparing to go to work. They're making their way to work. You know, you wanted to catch up what was the latest happening in New York. As for me personally, I grew up in New York and was in New York on 9/11. And I remember My father, he drove me, my younger sister, my nieces, and my nephew. We all went to private school, and we were Muslims, and we went to Muslim school that day. And the thing that I remember most is that we got to school on time, as we always have done, like every morning without fail. My dad drops off, and we have assembly at 8:45 at Claire Muhammad School in Brooklyn, New York, where I went to school, elementary school in New York City, in Brooklyn. 8:45 a.m., it's assembly. Now, at this point, to be completely honest with you, I have no knowledge as to what was about to happen. I mean, no one did, for the fact of the matter. No one knew what was about to happen. So the very next clip that I'm going to play as part of me narrating how it impacted me personally, this is part of something that I could actually remember as the morning progressed, because we're in assembly at this point. Little do we know what was happening, what was unfolding in Lower Manhattan. And one of the things that stood out to me was, wow, it's a beautiful morning, a cloudless morning in New York City, and this happens. This is, again, this is courtesy of 1010 Winds, WINS New York, the morning of 9/11 in 2001.
"50,000 Jews and supporters of Israel will turn out." Mona Rivera, 1010 Winds News.
Winds News Time 8:50. A major player on Wall Street is hit with a sex bias case. The story from 1010 Winds senior correspondent Stan Brooks.
The federal suit charges that Morgan Stanley discriminates against women employees in promotion, pay, and other benefits. An EEOC chairwoman, Carrie Dominguez, says when one of the women, Allison Shefflin, objected to this treatment, Morgan Stanley retaliated against her by firing her.
"To complain equates to..."
Breaking news now on 1010 Winds.
This just into our newsroom, a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. Let's get this live update from 1010 Winds correspondent Joan Fleischer. Joan, what do you see?
Well, I'm standing on the top of my roof, and I'm looking at the World Trade Center, and there's a huge hole in it, and there's a fire in the building right now. Huge smoke pouring out of it.
That was 1010 Winds WINS New York, who broke the story at 8:50 a.m. Now, this is about 4 minutes after the first plane hit the North Tower, I was already in school, about to make my way to the classroom, in which that at this point, I remember I got to my class, my fifth grade class, my classmates, we got there, and I can remember sitting, my seat was actually next to the window. And I'll never forget this eerie observation that I made. My seat was next to the window, and on Bedford Avenue, for those who are familiar with New York, and those who aren't, I'll explain in just a little bit. Bedford Avenue is one of the main avenues in Brooklyn, in which that you could take from the mid part of Brooklyn to the wings, towards the Williamsburg Bridge, to head into Manhattan. At this point, I noticed that there was a fire truck that was racing down Bedford Avenue, and one of the things that I distinguishly remember was I heard one fire truck race down, and then I heard two. So, being in New York, this isn't something that's abnormal. Like, it's a busy city. Things are happening. So I personally thought absolutely nothing of it. At this point, no knowledge for me. I had no idea what was going on. My teacher didn't. I don't even know if my teacher really knew what was happening. But if they did, they sure never said anything, at least initially. So as this is all unfolding, you know, there's more fire trucks racing down Bedford Avenue. And I thought, huh. There must be something's going on. But again, that was completely the furthest thing from my mind as something horrific was unfolding in Manhattan. I personally did not want to think, I didn't want to think that, you know, like that would be the case, like at all. And frankly, like it terrifies me just even like thinking about it. Like, the one thing that I remember is no one said anything at all. No one said a word whatsoever. And there's more fire trucks racing down towards the Twin Towers. And I can remember being in school, you know, I have no access to TV. There was no TV in my classroom whatsoever. There was none. And the only way that you find out was through the principal, who told the teacher, or teachers, I should say, in that school on that day, and that was it. That was really the only way that I found out. So now there's a plethora of fire trucks racing down Bedford Avenue, and I can remember thinking something's going on. This is really not normal. Now at this point, it had to have been more than 20 fire trucks, and as a fifth grader, again, this is something completely out of the thought and out of the possibility of what could it possibly be. And the one thing that I remember is that at this point, I'm curious, my mind's racing. I have no idea as to what's happening or whatnot, like none whatsoever. And the thing that scared me was that when I think about the day itself, not only the lack of awareness, but also communication was knocked out entirely. Just there was no cell service in Manhattan at all. My father had a cell phone, had no way of contacting my mom, and in itself, like that, just thinking about it, it's like, wow. Now, the next clip I want to play, like, as I mentioned, I'm already in school, so I have no knowledge as to what's happening whatsoever. Like, so, again, this is now at 9:03 a.m. on 9/11. Again, the clip I'm about to play is courtesy of WINS New York, 1010 Winds News radio station in New York that morning. Stand by.
Explosion occurred. occurring right at this moment in the other building, which means debris has come from
it
the airplane.
It appears another plane just flew into the other tower.
It looks like debris from the plane, which may have hit the other building. There is an explosion at any rate in the other building about 50 feet down as I'm looking south to the left. The plane was a larger plane. It didn't look as large as a passenger plane, but it did look like a four-engine jet aircraft. To my eyes, it could have avoided the building. It looked almost as if the pilot was trimming the rudder in order to hit the building. But that's
Are you certain that you did not just now see a second plane hit the other building?
I, from my vantage point, I didn't see a plane hit the building, but I did see an explosion occur, and there's a lot of flame as opposed to the other time. My God, I can't believe it. When the first plane hit, I did not hear an explosion, even though I was looking at it. It went clear into the building. The explosion and the fire started after impact. This is something that looks more like an explosion immediately at the corner of the building. I guess it would be the east tower of the World Trade Center.
All right, Kai, we're going to switch over to 1010 Winds reporter.
That clip was courtesy of 1010 Winds WINS New York, the morning of 9/11, reporting as this was happening in progress, as you just heard. And I have no idea what's happening because I'm in school. I didn't have a direct view of the Twin Towers from my vantage point. It was on the other side of the school building. And I found out, I started hearing murmurs about what really happened around noontime. And I remember vividly, you know, hearing the talks about what happened. And I didn't believe it. I really didn't believe it at first because for those that grew up in New York like myself, the Twin Towers at the time symbolized financial might. It really did. It really did because New York was, and in some ways still is, the symbol of the financial strength in this country, and especially in New York, the big and great metropolis of the world. And what interests me was like that the idea that something this horrific and tragic could take place, I couldn't believe it at first. So what I ended up doing, it was that like I finally heard a little bit more after in the afternoon, and I didn't believe it. And I remember my parents driving me home that afternoon. My older sister is in the car with us, and she's talking about it in details. I'm just like, nah, this can't. It really, like, nah, there's no way. And I'll never forget getting home that afternoon. All of the local news channels, local channels in New York is knocked out with the exception of one. That was CBS 2. That's WCBS Television New York in the New York metropolitan area. That was the only one that was still broadcasting live because its antenna was attached to the Empire State Building. And the other local channels, they were all knocked out. They were all broadcasting either as an alternate to the other, through like the other like smaller channels and so forth. And when I turned the TV on, when my dad turned the TV on, I saw it, and there it was. I never been more shocked and just utter disbelief more than what I was at that moment. And that was when I realized that this is real. This really did happen. And that I maybe froze for maybe an hour in the same spot, just stood there and just watched. Like, I really couldn't believe it. And it was, if not the most surreal moment of my life, that really was. It really was the most surreal moment in my life as a young boy growing up in New York on that horrific day. And, you know, one of the things that I'll touch on in the next segment, the thing that I could remember was at this point, nothing else mattered. I mean, absolutely nothing else mattered at all. Sports became a complete afterthought. And during the next segment, which I'll get to after this music break in just a bit, I'm going to talk about how the NFL season had just started, that week one, but it immediately became an afterthought as week two approached. That and much more. Plus, I'll be taking your phone calls at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to a special edition of the Shukri Wright Show, commemorating 9/11. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
How do you dispose of cigarettes?
Well, there's part of plants.
Really? Fertilizer and dried plant roots can catch fire.
Trash cans okay?
Please. All that trash can easily catch fire.
So off my porch is a bad idea.
Cigarettes tossed into mulch, leaves, and grass start many fires. Fire can grow up the side of a building before anyone notices.
Fine. Bucket of sand?
That's perfect. Put it out. All the way. Every time. To learn more, go to mass.gov/DFS.
La da da dee da 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 da. La da da dee da 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 da. La da da dee da.
Take your time, boy.
And all of this, the world...
Oh, my God, the building fell! Are you there? The building just fell!
Which building?
Oh, my God, the south building just crumbled from the top! Oh, my God, the building just fell! The entire World Trade Center on the south building just fell. I just saw the whole thing. Oh, my God! Oh, my God! I can't see anything now. The whole thing went down.
What?
Oh, my God.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. That clip was courtesy of 1010 Winds, WINS New York, as part of the dedication of the show to the anniversary, the 18th anniversary of 9/11. Here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tusk Reform Radio. I want to discuss and actually send out, this is the first time I've ever had the opportunity to do this, hosting my own radio show, but I want to send out to every person who was affected by this, whether they lost a loved one or a friend, my heartfelt condolences and remembrance to all of you who have the opportunity to visit, you know, on Ground Zero today, or the Pentagon, or Western PA. You know, my thoughts and as well as my grief is with you guys, and I simply just want to do my part to in the very least, you know, like. You know, pay tribute to this tragic day. 18 years ago today, September 11th, 2001, the worst day in this country's history. I know there's so much going on locally in sports right now, especially in Boston sports. And you know, like especially with the whole Antonio Brown thing and own situation and whatnot. But for today, We're not going to be talking doing the usual talk on talking about sports, but rather we're going to talk about 9/11 as well as starting now. We're going to talk about how 9/11 impacted sports and the first professional sports league to have been directly impacted by this actually was the NFL. As you heard in the first clip I played in the in which that the Giants had a Monday night game against the Denver Broncos the night before 9/11, and there was questions about whether if they were going to play that same weekend. And that weekend, it would have been the weekend of September 16th. And, you know, there was much discussion, but especially for the local teams like the New York Giants and the New York Jets, for example, about whether they're going to play or not. And there was a unanimous decision that they weren't going to play. And if the league and the NFL commissioner at the time, Paul Tagliabue, had said we're still going to play, they would have forfeited the game. Based on everything that I've read and for what I can remember, both the Giants and the Jets made that decision that they were going to play that league. And the league basically followed suit that they were not going to have games that same weekend, that 9/11 had taken place at the time. I'll be taking your phone calls, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I already had one phone call earlier today. The phone lines are open. I'm open to talk about what your memories of 9/11, where you were, how it affected you, and so forth. You know, being a Muslim myself, I was directly impacted in regards to like how it impacted Muslims in New York City and as well as all across. How they were viewed, and so forth. I didn't understand it at first until I started hearing stories about, like, you know, like different mosques being raided in the aftermath of 9/11 and so forth. Unfortunately, and And these were some really, you know, like dark days and dark times for everybody. And, you know, for me, like, I remember the next day after 9/11, I didn't even have school. There was no school. How could one be possibly thinking about going to school when such a horrific event just took place, not even 24 hours prior? So at that point, this is when, like, it really began to really sink in. And I remember just watching the news, like, constantly, day after day, hour after hour, in most part, in all the coverage and so forth. And it's these things still very much stick with me, you know. And what I was saying in regards to how it impacted sports, baseball had basically put the season on hold. Everything was on hold in terms of the season. Baseball was put on hold. The NFL was put on hold. The NBA and the NHL season hadn't even started yet. The preseason, for that fact of the matter, hadn't even really started yet. Actually, the NHL preseason did. You know, like the Rangers did a tribute, especially with their captain, Mark Messier, wearing a fireman's helmet. But in large part, the regular season of the NHL hadn't started yet. Neither did the NBA. So, with that being said, I want to play for you guys a clip that I found, I actually have here with me, in regards to, like, how the NFL was impacted, and what measures did they take in terms of putting the season on hold. And I'm going to, this is courtesy of NFL Films. Their former players, coaches, and fans, and league's official, they talk about where they were and how they felt when the attacks at the World Trade Center were taking place on 9/11/2001. This is courtesy of the NFL Films, in which they did a documentary 3 years ago, as a matter of fact, on the 15th year, to commemorate the 15-year anniversary of 9/11. So, This brief, I'm going to only play a portion of it. I'm not going to play it in its entirety. But this was in regards to the players, the coaches, the fans, the league officials who remember where they were when everything began to unfold. Again, this is courtesy of NFL Films. And here we go.
I pretty much started going to games when they opened the stadium in the 70s, the original Meadowlands Giant Stadium. Football's part of our life. I go to probably 6 or 7 games a year.
Tony Sicenzio also likes to attend one Giants road game every year. In 2001, he chose the season opener in Denver.
They lost a tough game. Really exciting.
Throws deep to the right side for Smith. In the end zone, Rod Smith with a Denver touchdown.
On the morning of September 11th, I woke up at the Brown Palace Hotel, and the first thing I did is I tried to call work. You know, take my lumps, going out there to see the Giants lose. And I couldn't get any phone calls through. Strange. And then I finally got through to Patty. I got through to my wife, and she said, put the TV on.
Looking again, if you're just joining us, both towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, where 2 planes have crashed into the towers.
I was an employee at Cantor Fitzgerald. I worked on the 104th floor of One World Trade Center. Once I saw the flames, I knew. My friends, they were trapped up there.
Over 100 floors below, New York's bravest were on their way to help.
When people see a tragedy, the natural normal instinct is to run away. These guys went in, you know? They go in. Those are heroes.
My brother Jimmy was one of the first responders in Tower 1. He was just climbing, helping civilians down. The first building fell down. Felt like an earthquake, he said. He was just holding on to the railings and the stairway. finally his lieutenant just screamed at everybody and told him to get out. They rushed down to like the fourth floor and it was all pitch black. And he said, I don't know who the guy was, but somebody screamed that there was a doorway. And he said all he remembers is just the marble cracking around him and just running while the building was falling behind him.
It fell. It collapsed.
That was, again, NFL Films as part of a clip from the 15-year anniversary commemoration, remembering 9/11. And that was Joe Andruzzi, a former offensive lineman for the New England Patriots who had two brothers who were both firemen for the New York Fire Department who were at the World Trade Center on 9/11, in which he discussed his recollection as well as like what the accounts of his brothers were being inside the Twin Towers trying to help people evacuate on that day. So much more on Joe Andruzzi coming up a little later on. In the show, because we're going to talk about how one local team here in New England was directly impacted, and that is the New England Patriots. We'll talk about that a little later in the show, so you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that. But coming up next, we're going to touch on much more of the NFL, how the NFL was impacted in the aftermath of 9/11, and it is definitely going to be quite insightful. And there's another clip as well that I want to be able to like share a portion of it with you guys. Again, courtesy of NFL Films, as we continue the Shukri Wright Show here on the special edition of commemorating the 9/11 18-year anniversary. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
We would always be. Without you I feel lost at sea. Through the darkness you'd hide with me. Like the wind we'd be wild and free. You're